Hello, theologisters, sisters, and misters.
Welcome to the coven.
So, Arthur, I need you to tell me about divination. What does that even mean?
What does divination mean?
Yes, what does divination mean?
Divination is like a form of fortune telling in a way. It's predicting what will happen next to you or someone else. Like you can ask a deity to intervene with it, or you could just flat out go for it yourself, just fly solo.
So like a prophecy.
I suppose in a way, yes. Although I do have to say that we all, I do believe that we shape our own futures.
How so? Like, do you mean in terms of like you choose your own fate and like even if you're told something, like it's still up to you or?
Yes, even if a tarot card tells me something and says, you know, you shouldn't do this week, I'll still have the option to do that. It's whether or not I feel the need to listen to it. Sometimes I get a reading and it's the worst reading I've ever had. I hate it so much. And I say, this is a false reading. This is a reading that is not true.
Can you pick and choose like that?
No. Because that's okay. Wrong and it is a good reading. It's just one I don't want to listen to.
So technically every reading is a good reading if you believe that tarot works that way.
Yeah. So I'm like,
you can't just pick and choose like, well, I like this one.
So I like this real one better. So this is the real one. You know, it doesn't work that way.
That's just wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the difference then between, because you said like, if you can control your own fate, I remember previously you were talking about prophetic dreams and that no matter what, you always seem to do, you know, whatever is in that dream. And so like that you can't control, but this you can.
That one's a little bit more complex to explain because that one's not me looking for a fortune. That one's just me having one read out to me and then it actually happening and me going, oh shit, that is actually currently happening.
So I guess it's about like setting an intention to know about the future versus
yes,
like just having it like laid out to you.
Yes. Divination is a lot about, and witchcraft in general, a lot of things you'll hear is intention.
I hear that word quite a bit, especially since, like, I told you a while ago that I started getting tarot reading recommendations on YouTube. And we could talk about that a little bit. And they talk about setting intention and that all the time. Also in yoga, they talk about it. So, you know, I feel like it's a very spiritually, but also like a psychological thing as well. So I always kind of enjoyed the whole setting an intention. So for me, like when I do yoga, I'll set an intention for the day of like, today I'm going to be productive or today I'm going to be really healthy. And like, so that's for me, that's like my realm of setting an intention. So if you could talk more about like the spiritual side of that.
The spiritual side of setting an intention is setting intention to like, God, there's so many different ways to set intention for things. It's really just stating to the universe or what you want to get out of this or what you're asking, like your intention behind what you are currently doing. Like say I asked a question to my tarot deck and I needed to know this bit of information specifically. That's my intention that I'm putting out there. And I have to think about it and focus on it. And then I can draw the card. Or sometimes you have flyaway cards that just get thrown at you, which is great.
That I've seen during those readings.
I get them quite often. It's kind of funny.
Maybe you're just a really bad shuffler.
No, I'm not. I'm not that bad at shuffling.
I mean, those cards are bigger than normal cards, right?
No, this is the same size card as a normal tarot deck card.
I've seen some that are clunkier.
Maybe.
So I feel like that also adds to the whole, oh, my cards keep flying out of my hands.
Maybe.
It's like, I don't know. Maybe you just have small hands.
Maybe you just have small... I have small hands. My hands are about the size of a tarot deck.
So.
They're a little bit longer, but
my
not
hands
by much.
Are exactly two tarot decks wide.
Exactly two tarot decks. Mine's like one and like a tenth of a tarot deck wide, if you really want to get into it.
So I guess which card... Because I hear this a lot too, is that people that do a lot of tarot readings tend to see like one card over and over. Do you have that?
Yes, I do. Mine is the King of Pentacles.
Ooh, and what does that mean?
The King of Pentacles is all about, it's about the inventor spec, motivation to start a new business, build a nest egg, improvement of health. The King of Pentacles is a self-made man who considers his job to encourage others to improve themselves and work hard.
Oh, so you get that quite a bit?
Yep, and he wishes to build status and be seen as an important member of his community. I get that upright quite a lot. When I get it reversed, I'm terrified.
Oh, you should probably mention like what it means when you have an upright card versus an reverse card.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean anything bad if your card is reversed. However, when you have a reverse card, you should be taking the exact opposite meaning.
Which it is when you deal it upside down.
Yes, when you deal a card upside down.
Because the way that you shuffle tarot is different than like how you would shuffle playing cards.
Yes. Well, no. Mix of both. I kind of like flip my cards around in circles and like mess with them and...
The idea is to leave it as much up to chance as possible.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I see people just dumping their cards on the table and just like messing them around.
Messing them around, yeah.
Yeah. And like, so that way you get some that are going to be, you know, flipped upside down.
Yeah. And I'll do that by like holding a bunch in my hand and turning that bunch the opposite direction and just shuffling that back in. When I do the whole pile on the ground, like just mush it all together, that's usually me trying to, mix up my deck so that I can cleanse it. This deck has recently been cleansed. I haven't done a single tarot reading with it, and I don't know what it'll do for us today.
Yeah, so I feel like it would be really fun if you pulled cards about, you know, how this podcast is going to go and how it's been going. So can you do a past, present, and future tarot card pull? And I suppose you would set the intention of the podcast and its success.
Okay.
While you're doing that, I just want to mention that what I like about tarot as a skeptic is, number one, it's fun. I mean, there's no harm in it. And, you know, number two, it's really about just how you interpret it. You know, it could be, like, for me, I see it more of like a change of perspective. Just like a random, leave it up to chance and like whatever happens, like, it may be true, it may not, you know. The universe is just a crazy place and take that, you know, as you will versus like a true, like prophetic thing. But, you know, anything can happen. So I just think it's fun.
So you want me to draw these?
Yeah, I'm scared. Should I be scared?
I am too, considering how I see them right now. Okay. The past, the present, and the future. Okay.
Is it bad? Oh, you're being quiet. I'm scared.
You know what? I think overall this is a pretty good spread.
Okay, if you want to go through it. So what did you pull for the past?
So for the past, I've pulled Temperance, which is balance, harmony, synthesis, and avoiding the extreme. This is a major arcana card.
Wow.
Major arcana cards represent life's karmatic and spiritual lessons. There are 22 of those in my deck, and there are 56 minor arcana cards, which you'll see later when I get to the future bit, because the future one is minor arcana.
Okay, so what do you think that relates to?
Well, here's the fun bit. A reader is the one who interprets the card and tells you what they think, how you feel it relates to, you know, your life, their life, the situation, etc. The tarot reader is the one who is reading this out and interpreting it.
So technically, because you are reading for me, you are the one to interpret it for me, and I take that as I will.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So for Temperance, for the past, what do you think that means?
Well, considering when I was doing a reading about some stuff for the podcast the other day, I got temperance as the present. Now that I'm getting temperance as the past, that means that has passed.
Wait, back up. You didn't tell me that you did a tarot pull for the podcast the other day.
I did, because of the concerns that you had about the podcast.
Right. So I guess then that's interesting that you said that you pulled that for the present and that was like a week ago and now it's the past. That's actually really cool.
Yeah, I often wind up doing that too. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and so like I said, could that
if I do them often enough.
Could that be just like a random happenstance of the world being chaotic and interesting? Sure.
Well, you have a 1 in 76 chance to find out.
Right? So I mean,
sorry,
like,
did I say 76? I meant 78. Why did I say 76?
52. Wait, no. but no, that's actually really cool. Okay. So.
So for me,
read my fortune.
It's kind of like avoiding the extreme. Just don't do anything that's extreme. Be more harmonious. So it's a more harmonious, non-extreme kind of approach to things, is what I'm getting from the past.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do anything extreme or drastic. We didn't jump straight into things. We planned everything out. So,
like, I think I know more so of what that refers to, and we don't have to get into that here, but I can say that that makes a lot of sense. Let's just say that we were just dealing with a little bit of negativity in regards to the podcast. And so, yeah, you know, we didn't react to that, you know, in a explosive way. We just let it run its course. And I guess
which is really how professionals should be working anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm glad that we both kept our cool and it seems that the tarot deck is pleased.
The tarot deck gods are pleased.
Is that not how it works?
That is not how that works, but all right.
Okay, after you explain the rest of the cards, I definitely want to know your take on, like, how the cards, you know, are manipulated. So we'll get into that next. So what was our present card pulled?
The Fool. Reversed.
Oh. Sorry, the moment you just said the Fool, and I'm just like, you know, mood.
Beginnings, infinite possibilities, taking chances, eschewing logic, and spontaneity.
Reversed.
But reversed.
So what does that mean?
So for that, if it's a major arcana, you should consider the effects of stagnation or opposition to those keywords. So anything that might be opposing the forces of a new beginning or the infinite possibilities we have as a new podcast.
So there are forces at opposition for our podcast starting?
For the podcast starting and continuing onwards. The question was,
the success of
how's the podcast going to go? What's the success like? You know, how's that going to go?
So what you're saying is, all right, y'all were level-headed. Good job. The fun's not over.
The fun's not over.
You're going to deal with some more pushback, so have fun.
But I think that's logical. I think we're always going to deal with pushback, no matter who or what it is.
There's always going to be people. It's so cliche. There's always going to be haters. But I mean, like, obviously, no
matter
what.
Today's pushback was my sleep schedule.
God, the other day when the last night and the night before, and I ran into so many technical difficulties uploading at the time that we're recording this. It was the second episode. Was going up and my render for the video kept basically corrupting after like hours and hours and hours of trying to render out. And I'd call that a pushback. I had to release the episode a day late, which I was not happy about. So, I mean, yeah, I definitely can see why that would be considered the present. Hey, maybe that's what it's referring to, is the fact that I couldn't upload the episode in it.
Yeah, maybe it's like, hey, you couldn't upload the episode. Think about it.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe that's what it's referring to. But I feel like it makes just a lot of sense in more of a general sense of, like, you know, there's going to be pushback. You're a new podcast. You're just starting. And, like, take it slow, I guess, and like try not to sweat it.
That's kind of what I'm getting out of this.
Especially if the future card is nice.
I'm scared of the future card, so that's good.
Oh no, fear. All right, what's our future? Tell me your future, dude.
This is a minor arcana card.
I'm scared.
So this reflects the trials and tribulations that we experience on a daily basis. It is the Eight of Wands reversed.
Oh no, that sounds bad.
I'm scared of getting reverse cards, but it's not always bad.
I know the reverse card isn't always bad, but oof.
Optimization. Like the Seven of Wands tells us, good things don't last forever. However, this card advises us to move on from that thought to make the best of what's in front of us. The Eight of Wands also has a tone of urgency. It is the card of swift action and results. Upright, this card points towards quick movement and decision-making, a flow of creative management ideas. Reversed, this card may indicate stagnation or lack of energy.
So it's warning us that we gotta up our energy for the future?
I think it's, yeah, probably warning us that we need to continue moving and
not get stuck.
It's indicating stagnation and a lack of energy.
Okay, I mean, I will say I was procrastinating editing the episode.
Yeah, that's a warning, Emma.
Okay, I'll stop procrastinating. This feels too close to home. I don't like it. Your reading is wrong. I don't like it.
You asked for my readings. I'm giving you reading. You ask the same question again, it's going to give you the same answers. People have polled like the same card 1600 times because they're scared of the old readings. And it's like, yeah, it's going to keep giving you the same reading. I'm
sorry.
You know,
Arthur, I came here to have a good time. And honestly, I'm feeling so attacked right now. All right. So summary is you kept a level head. Good job. You need to keep moving forward and haters are gonna keep happening and don't worry about it and stop procrastinating, bitch.
Yep.
Is that roughly it? Is that the summary?
Yeah, that's about it.
You know what's funny, because I asked about the success of the podcast and not about me specifically, and all it did was just roast me.
Just roasted.
I didn't ask for
me
that.
Too. It was like, hey, get the fuck out of bed.
I didn't ask to be roasted today. I definitely think it'll be really fun on Patreon if we released you doing like an extra like fun reading for something like lighthearted for me. That would be, you know, maybe I'll get insulted more. That could be great.
It's lighthearted and it's just a bunch of insults. My deck just starts hating you.
God, could you?
That's
imagine?
A good point to bring up. Decks have personalities.
Oh yeah, so I wanted to know like how the deck is manipulated spiritually, paranormally. I don't know how you would describe that, but like obviously it's not like a magic trick. You're not the one manipulating it. So
no.
What is?
Also, I'm not sure how I could.
I mean, so like it's not like you're telling the cards, you know, what to be. The cards are telling you. So I mean, could you talk about like how you think that works?
Well, it's not really about making predictions so much as it is about intuition and inner wisdom, like tapping into the inner wisdom of the world. The way that I view the world personally, and many people view it differently, many people view it similarly, it's very dependent on the person, how you view the universe and the world and how it works. I like to think of everything as connected. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I see a blue thread that's very light and bright and glowy. And this is just my personal image of it. And each animal, each tree, each person is connected to that thread.
Okay. Almost like a Shinto belief in a way, where they believe like everything has a soul and everything is connected.
Yeah. Exactly. Except like that, a Shinto.
But that also there. Technically, in Shinto belief, is last time I looked into this, I actually wrote a paper in college about Shinto in regards to robot AI and like why Japan is so much more welcoming to robots being a part of everyday life, where here in America it terrifies us, is because in Shinto belief they believe everything has a soul, including objects and inanimate objects.
Mm-hmm.
So you know.
And that, my thing for that is that I don't really see it for inanimate objects. I see it for anything that's got a plant or animal cell.
Okay.
Or a spirit. Spirits count too.
Mm-hmm. Spirit cell?
Sentient things is basically.
Spirit cell sounds like a new cell phone provider, but for goth people.
It really does. So, like, if anybody's capitalizing on that, royalties?
Yeah, please. Like, we need 25 cents.
For a cell phone.
For cell phone. Actually. Actually, that's a good investment. So, yeah. So, you said, like, so everything that has, you know, everything that is considered a living organism or a spiritual force all have, you know, this soul that connects them all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how does that then relate to tarot?
Then when you're asking the question, you can draw from the pool of wisdom. Of course, if everything's connected, they all have some form of wisdom that they have to tap into to use that magic. And so if you're going to tap into it, you're tapping into the magical pool of wisdom that's not just your own, mm-hmm. but other creatures and people and animals around you.
So it is like a universe thing, I mm-hmm. guess. Okay. Because that's really interesting, you know, of like, it's almost like you're pulling just energy from the world and sort of focusing that into this like one thing that can, I guess, spell it out for you in simple terms.
Yes. And sometimes those simple terms are very confusing. Like my baby witch friend who absolutely wants to cry every time he doesn't understand one. No. His favorite card is the Stirs.
Ooh. What does that one mean?
The Stirs is a major arcana card. A lot of people really like the major arcana cards. My mother's card is death.
I've heard interesting things about that one.
Death is a very interesting card. But for the Stirs, I have to go find the sun. Hang on. Inspiration, generosity, serenity, regaining hope and faith, and looking forward to the future.
That is a really pretty card. I actually wanted to know, out of all the cards, which do you think represents me?
Well, for that, I'd have to continually draw for you, wouldn't I?
Oh, look, you had to, like, assign me an arbitrary card.
If I had to assign you an arbitrary card? Oh, God, I immediately wanted to assign you something from the cups.
And the cups being?
The cups, well, some people call them chalices. It depends on your deck. Each deck mm-hmm. is different.
Yeah, because, like, cups are one of the four suits.
Cups are water, feelings, emotions, depression, romance, the arts, and spirit.
What a mood.
So I feel like you're one of the cups. I just don't know which one.
The queen of cups.
I can draw and see, like, what would Emma's card be?
Yeah, sure.
Draw a single card.
Let's arbitrarily ask the universe. Universe, I am pulling energy from you and putting it through this microphone directly into Arthur's ears. Arthur, I beseech you, who am I?
Who am I? Don't ask that question. That's a horrible question. This is all about asking the right question.
Well, I don't know what's right and wrong. Whoever said that there's a wrong way to ask the universe something?
The person who asked the universe for something got it, but got it in the way he didn't want it.
No.
That's a fun story. I asked for more commissioners to get money.
Did you get more commissioners?
In a way, I did something nice for somebody and they tried to pay me for it.
Oh, and I know you're not a fan of handouts.
No. And I was like, no, honey, that I did that. I did that for, you know, out of the kindness of my heart, please.
Morgan was not... like, bitch, I did that for you.
I was like, I was sitting there thinking, I need the money, but I'm not accepting this.
Morgan is like, you ungrateful.
I went back to her and I was like, thank you, but that's not what I meant.
Praying at your altar, like, please don't be mad.
I knew she wouldn't be mad if I didn't accept it, but I was like,
I want to earn the money.
Yeah, I was like, this is the thing. I wanted to earn this money. This is
please
this
don't manipulate right. my friends. It's like, I know you're my friend, so I want to tell you, I think my goddess is manipulating you to give me your money. I just want you to know that.
Good God.
And then they're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
By the way, here's $50.
Anyway, have a good one.
Okay, so what's Emma's card? This one.
No, stop. What? No, I don't like it. What? Is it the Fool?
Yep.
Oh, fucking hell. Fuck you.
Damn it. I drew it reversed as well.
Stop. No.
Oh my God, I love that. Is your card just the Fool? Beginnings, infinite possibilities, taking chances, eschewing logic and spontaneity. There you go.
But reversed.
It's you, but it's reversed, you little bitch.
I'm just a little bitch. That's what it's telling me.
Get back on your fucking game.
I don't like that. It's wrong.
It's wrong. It hasn't been wrong with you yet.
I hate that so much.
I love when I drew that again.
I wish I could say I was like standing right there and like that I saw you do that. I really hope you're not fucking with me.
I'm not. That's why I started laughing so hard.
Are you glad I could immediately tell what you pulled?
That was funny. I was like, oh my God.
I'm so mad. I'm so mad.
I can ask again. You'll get the same answer, I'm sure, but like...
Can you take the Fool out? It's still the Fool.
If I took the Fool out and it was still the Fool and the Fool was sitting in front of me, I would be scared.
As you should be. I'm scared.
I would have to start going through my deck going, okay, how many Fools are in here? Because like...
It's full of Fools.
It's just a deck of Fools. That's all I'm drawing.
Okay, do people ever take out a card for that reason? Because they hate it so much, so they just take it out of the deck? Is that a thing? Well, are you allowed to do that?
I don't think you
should, right?
I don't think you should. There's no like definite rule of like you can and cannot do this, but I don't think you should take out a card just because you don't like it.
Right?
Because then you're not getting an accurate reading.
Yeah, that's like disingenuous. It like throws the whole thing off, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's so funny because it's like, and I mentioned this to you earlier today, but it's like tarot and zodiac hit my brain in a way where it's like, this is so fun, I want it to be real. Where like everything else is so scary, I don't want it to be real.
I'm never quite sure about Zodiac, but somewhere on the internet there is a private journal that I have written that eschews Zodiac to the varying personalities. Like, you know the MBTI? Maya Briggs, yeah.
Yeah, so the 16 personalities.
Except I hadn't heard of that at all and was flat out writing this information.
Oh.
And so I was saying, you know, how you could tell what somebody was going to do next week and things like that, just based off of what their zodiac sign is, because that determines quite a bit about their personality, their persona, and a lot of people are like, oh, I don't identify with my sign, and that means that they're actually just identifying with a different part of their sign, like their rising or their...
Oh, I'd be lying if I said I didn't calculate my sun, moon, and rising.
Yeah.
Because again, it's so much fun because now you're part of a whole different conversation, you know? Being able to be a part of that, like part of the internet that just only talks about Zodiac. I love personality stuff. I love MBTI. It... You know,
my moon sign is a lot less prominent than like my rising and my sun.
You know, let's talk horoscope for a second because it's so much fun. My first question to you, and then we'll get more into like what each one of like the three major that you could be like means, because this I actually know about. So horoscope, is that a kind of divination?
I suppose it's reading the stars. I might count it as a type of divination because it is a future read. It's just not.
So there's like one person that I follow on Twitter, who like does, she does like some tarot readings. And then every once in a while, she'll be like, reading specifically for fire signs, you know, and then she'll be like, this is your love reading. And then she'll go through like, you know, paragraphs and paragraphs, like a whole thread of tweets that are like this very specific experience that she assigns to just like the fire signs or to just like one of the zodiac signs. And it's very like very specific, and so it resonates with a decent amount of her audience. And then there's always someone where they're like, well, this doesn't apply to me at all. And then she's just like, well, that means that it wasn't for you, and that's okay. And, you know, I think that's the problem that people have with Zodiac, is that everyone's like, it's so broad. And mm-hmm. that brings me back into like what I was saying with the all these like YouTube tarot readers coming into my feed. And if no one, if someone in the audience hasn't seen those, there's been a huge influx. I don't know if this was recent, but a couple months ago, it started blowing up my feed where I'd be recommended like these hour long videos of people that read tarot. They'll lay out four piles, usually four, and they'll tell you, you know, with the piles facing down, to just pause the video and to like focus your energy or some bullshit and like pick one of the four and then go to a timestamp related to that, and that's your reading. And, you know, some of them hit really close to home and others really didn't. And like, and so to me, it's fun to listen to. And that's the whole point for me. It's fun. Do I take it as gospel? Do I think it's true, you know, fortune telling? No. So, I mean, like, it's just
all
fun.
Right. For those, and for any reading,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, never take it exactly as gospel. Take a lot of it into account, but do not sit down and read it and go, this is exactly what I need to do. You need to have an open mind and a free spirit with these kind of things. You can't just sit down and go, this is exactly how I need to do things.
Mm. So,
well, I mean, I suppose you could, but it's not, I don't see that as working very well personally.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. All right, so back to Zodiac real quick, because I just wanted to bring that up because I thought it was really cool. And, you know, if you guys are interested in, you know, tarot in that sense, I think that those YouTube videos are really fun. And it, for me, it was a really good introduction to tarot. Not that I do tarot myself, but, you know, it's...
And for me, I find them fun as well. So.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You know, like, you guys know at this point, I find this stuff absolutely fascinating above anything else. So I wanted to quickly get back into Zodiac because this stuff is so fun. So what we were referring to with the three major signs, and I'm sure a decent amount of our audience already knows this, but so there's your sun sign, which is the one that everyone associates as being their sign, you know, the day of their birth, you know, like of the 12 or whatever. So like, and everyone's like, that's my sign, and if I don't like it, it makes no sense, and Zodiac is fake, which is fair. I always thought, so I am a sun sign Aries. And everyone was always like, Aries are just so argumentative and they always want to fight people. And I'm like, that's
so many
not
arguments
me.
With you.
And it's like, that is not me. I hate confrontation. I am not an aggressive person. Arthur, am I an aggressive person?
So aggressive.
Shut up. So, you know, I always was like, well, Zodiac is fake because I can't be an Aries. And that's when I realized that there's so much more than just your sun sign. And there's also more than like the three signs that, you know, that like everyone really associates with Zodiac. Like you could do a whole chart reading. I think it's called a natal chart.
Yes, those are called natal charts.
And like, that's too intense for me.
I can't do this.
That is way too intense for me. It's like,
it's too much.
Your Venus and Mercury, like retrograde, too much for me. Can't do that. But that's where I draw the line.
I have to draw the line there too.
I can't figure it out. I tried actually for a little bit.
I did too.
Like, my house is like, you mean like Hogwarts?
Does every house have to be Hogwarts?
So, okay, so the other two signs other than your sun sign is...
Wait, before you move on to out of sun sign, I'm sure somebody's going to want to know my sun sign.
Oh my God, of course. So, your sun sign.
Taurus.
I'll pretend very stubborn. I didn't already know that. That is true. You are very much a stereotypical Taurus.
I am a very stereotypical Taurus.
You can be very stubborn. I love you, but you can be very stubborn.
But I've learned to be a little bit more fluid and flexible over the years.
Well, yeah, and that just comes with like mellowing out. But like you at your purest state when you were younger and like unfiltered.
Stubborn, unyielding. This is what's happening.
But like, you know, with the people that you really cared for, you were very, you know, soft and understanding. So again, that's very stereotypical Taurus.
And very protective, also very stereotypical. Just
so like,
I am stereotypical Taurus. However, there are some things that don't quite resonate as well. And then I have to go look at the other signs. So let's talk about the other two.
So I guess let's talk about rising, because that's the next one that I think makes the most amount of sense. And that one is supposed to be how other people perceive you. So if you're like, well, nobody looks at me and thinks I'm an Aries. They look at me and say I'm this. And then you look up your rising sign. It might actually happen to be that. So for me, my rising is Sagittarius. So that means that people perceive me as a stereotypical Sagittarius being, you know, very fun-loving, very adventurous, and very out there and very extroverted when I don't really feel like that doesn't necessarily resonate with me, but I can totally see why other people would think that.
I often see that with you.
Right? Like, you know, I feel like I'm so low key most of the time. I barely leave the house unless I have to. like, don't get me wrong. I like to go out. I like to have fun. I mean, I want to travel, you know, when I have the disposable income, but I'm not like, you know, like we're quarantining right now and I'm just like chilling, you know. I feel like a stereotypical Sagittarius would be clawing at the walls. So but like maybe that's a little exaggerated, but like Aries are always seen as like really confrontational and super high energy, and like I'm only high energy right now because I chugged a cup of caffeine before this. Trust me, I'm not this energetic usually. So I don't ever truly like super relate to that. And then the rising, like I can see why other people think that, but I don't relate to that either. So Arthur, what is your rising?
My rising is Leo.
Oh, that is so obvious. I should have guessed. Honestly, I should have guessed. Like Leos are so like, I want to be in the spotlight. Everything is about me. They're very prideful. And you come off as that. Like, you know, not in like a bad way. But like, I can tell that other people would be like, oh, what a fucking attention whore.
They're also very generous and warm-headed.
What? Nah. It's so funny. When I think about the Zodiac, the first thing that comes to mind is always the negative part.
Yeah, I know. It's always the negative. What's wrong with you, you negative Nancy?
I always are like, the things that I love about the Zodiac.
Everything negative.
Yeah. It's like Taurus, stubborn. Leo's attention whores. Aries, they're so confrontational. Everyone's like, but like, they're really like, you know, like they're like powerful and creative. I'm like confrontational and stupid.
Okay, that loud noise. We cannot cut that out.
I didn't hear it. What happened?
It was confrontational and stupid. Then there was like a loud gunshot noise.
What? On my end?
On my end.
Oh. I didn't hear that. I guess I'll have to hear that back when I'm listening.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'll see if we should leave that in or not.
Please, it was like right afterwards.
You know, if I hear nothing, I'm cutting it out.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So, okay, so the last one is actually the one that you're supposed to relate to the most because it represents your emotional inner world. So for me, my emotional inner world, you know, is a Capricorn. And from what I remember, because I didn't actually look into this one too much, because not a lot of people talk about Capricorns. They just don't. People kind of people just forget that Capricorns exist. I forget that Capricorns exist.
Capricorns are actually the people that work the best with me in a studying situation.
Yeah. You know, so like,
And like in a work environment, which is probably why you work pretty well with me.
You know, actually, it's been a while since I looked up what a stereotypical Capricorn is. Give me a second. Let's
They're like responsible, disciplined, self-controlled, good manners, good manners, Jesus.
Good manners.
Well, you have good manners too.
As an eminent,
but they're also know-it-alls, unforgiving, condescending, and expecting the worst.
What a mood. Okay, here we go. cautious, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ambitious. I mean, I currently have two jobs I'm not being paid for, because I hope I'll get paid for in the future, and I'm starting a podcast. And I'm incredibly overwhelmed. So yeah, practical. I'd like to think so. I don't go off and like spend money all the time, and I'd like to think that I think about things pretty rationally, you know, reasonable. Arthur, am I reasonable? Arthur? You're such an asshole today.
I love you. No, you're reasonable. You're reasonable. I just wanted to stay silent and see what you did.
Responsible, as you said, introvert, which, I mean, I feel more ambiverted, but I feel like everybody is on that spectrum of, like, you're kind of extrovert sometimes, you're kind of introvert sometimes. And then caring, open-hearted, reliable, and nosy. Yeah, that's about right. I want to fix...
Get out of my business.
I want to help. I want to fix things. Let me fix you.
No. I don't want to be fixed.
No, that was actually something I really had to reel in. With therapy, like I learned, like it's not my job to fix other people. Like that was a big struggle for me. So yeah, like so my emotional inner world, and that's supposed to be like the most truest form of you. So even though everybody totes, you know, the sun sign as being you, usually it's what I've heard is that the sun sign is supposed to be you at your best.
Why don't you pull up mine?
So you want to check your moon sign?
Yeah. Mine is Libra.
Ooh. So your inner world. Libras are young at heart with an old mind. They can be gentle and childlike with a wisdom that only comes from a mind that knows more than average. Hmm. That's one. Let's see. There's another good one that just tells me attributes. Just give me attributes.
Explain me.
I will explain you. Okay, here we go.
I don't like the laughter. What is it?
The very first one on the list.
Prick.
Is seductive.
Oh my god. I am very flirtatious, though.
You really are, though. But it goes on. Polite. You are very polite. You really do have like very good manners. I don't know if that's the Brit side of you or what, but like
it might be the British upbringing. I don't know.
You are very polite. It says artistic. Very true.
I'm drawing.
I'm currently drawing.
I'm literally currently doodling on this page while I speak. Loving, I can't help myself. I need something to do with my hands.
Loving, charismatic, sociable, adaptive, sensitive, paradoxical. That's a mood. As in, like, you say you're gonna do something and then you do the opposite, or like you're constantly like contradicting yourself.
Yeah.
Caring, balanced, flirtatious. They really wanted to run that one home for you. rational and fair, deep, refined, romantic, friendly. But then towards the end, it says elusive, vain. And then it goes back to gracious, compassionate. What do you think of that?
I mean, that's all really accurate.
Right?
So,
but like, that's the fun part, is when people are like, screw the zodiac, doesn't mean shit. And then you go like, but wait a second, I really do actually relate to my moon sign. Hold up, now I'm not so sure, right? And so that's why I find it so fun. I find it so much fun. If you want to calculate your moon and your rising, literally just look up moon rising calculator on Google, and you just have to like put in your birthday and like shit like that. And
That does mean that you also need to know the time and the location.
Yes, you do need to know the time.
So if you don't know that stuff, you could always easily ask your parents or look at your birth certificate.
Mm-hmm. So like the time of the day that you were born, and where, like in the world, like location, geographically, were you born? Usually,
hey guys, ASL?
Oh my god, you had to put in your ASL. Except no, you don't have to put in your gender.
Yeah, you don't even have to put in your gender.
It's just AL.
It's just AL. It's Al.
It's just Al.
Al out here helping us out with our zodiacs.
So yeah, I mean, divination and like tarot and zodiac and all of that together, for me, it's just a really fun outlet to be like, haha, that's like me, you know? And like, that's it. That's kind of where it ends for me. I know.
And you know, at this time, we really do need a little bit of serotonin.
Oh my God. Like, you calling me the fool twice today
has really downed my serotonin.
Oh my God. No, but it really actually brought up my energy. I think you gave me a really funny dose of serotonin with that. That was hilarious.
That was not intentional. I don't have any say over what I draw.
You know, if you say so.
Oh, fuck off, you skeptic.
So, I mean, like, is there any other stories that you want to tell, like, when, you know, tarot really helped you out, or, like, any other divination stories that you want to share?
Oh, there are multiple types of divination.
Oh, yeah. You want to get into that?
Yeah, sure. So the next type I know of is, now these are all things that I haven't tried yet, but I want to test them out someday.
Mm-hmm.
There's runes, which is an ancient form of oracle used by those seeking advice. Huh. They work similarly to tarot, when it comes to readings, or at least that's what I've read. They're used to help gain insight into situations or questions, and they can be made of various materials, most commonly stone, and they feature a symbol of the runic alphabet on them. There are various different types of runic alphabets, though.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, what is the runic alphabet?
I
already had to learn the Hebrew alphabet as a kid.
One of the oldest ones is the old Germanic runic alphabet, known as the Elder Futhark.
The elder what?
Futhark.
What? Can you spell that for me?
Futhark.
Futhark?
Yeah.
It's funny because when you said F-U, I was like, F-U too.
F-U too.
All right, so the Futhark, that's the dumbest name. I'm sure it has a beautiful meaning. That's so stupid.
I could also very easily be butchering pronunciation, so if anybody wants to mess with me let me know.
I'll just say that in my dumb American accent, sounds real stupid. I'm sure, like, if you said it was, like, old Germanic, I'm sure if, like, if someone was listening and they speak German, they'll be like, oh, you fucking dumbasses.
Oh, I'm sure they are saying that right now, and just...
And, you know...
They're right.
Fair. So tell
that
me
is
about...
one of the many languages I don't speak. I speak many, but that is not one of them.
So tell me about the great Futhark.
It contains 24 runes, and the first six of them spell out the word Futhark.
I'm sorry.
Shut up. Over time, it's been adapted in order to use it to write in Anglo-Saxon or Old English. So a number of other runes were added to the alphabet, bringing it up to 33. And that is the Anglo-Saxon Futhark.
Can we just call it the FU?
The Anglo-Saxon FU.
So, okay. So basically, you carve runes, or like you buy, I guess, the runes pre-made.
I mean, you can carve them, but...
And so it's, I'm assuming, like what? So you like throw them on the ground in the way that they arrange themselves or something? Because it's not like you can shuffle them.
I haven't done it personally, but I heard, really? No, nobody's spoken to me about them because nobody around me knows or uses them.
Nobody talks about good old Futhark.
What I read, and I could be entirely wrong, is that you have them in a bag and you pull out a few.
Mm-hmm.
And like those are the ones that...
Okay.
Work. So it's similar to tarot in that way. But I think there's several different ways to do it as well. I didn't sit down and read like a bunch of articles on it.
That's fair.
I did read the history and write it all down and that stuff, but mm-hmm. I didn't sit down and write down, like, how do I do this one? Because I was like, I don't know how many people are going to want to know how to do runes.
I mean, I'm sure it's something that if you're like, if it sounds interesting, like, we do have Google at our fingertips. I mean, that makes sense, you know? So it sounds like it's just another physical object, I guess, to channel that energy that you were talking about earlier, like the energy of the universe through.
Yes.
So yeah, and like that makes sense. So it's just a matter of like, how much do you believe that it's just random and chance versus like the universe telling you a sign, giving you, you know, a message. You know, it's if you really consider the universe in that sense to have that kind of like sentient power versus like, not, you know, we're just a big old ball of gas or ball of rock, molten rock drifting through a big old void. and everything is random and nothing makes sense. And we're all here with like running around with our heads cut off.
God, that's such a boring way to see the world.
I know, but it is the easiest for my dumbass brain to accept. I am the fool. I am the fool, apparently.
The fool isn't a bad card to be.
I know it's supposed to be like, you know, fun and experimental and all that cool shit. But
honestly, I'm feeling so attacked right now.
It's just like such an insult. Like, I wonder what card I'm gonna be, like the Empress or the High Priestess or the Sun. You're like, fool. And I'm just like, I can't argue it, but I'm not happy about it. Anyway, so I mean, this was a really fun episode to record. You know, the last few that we recorded were a little bit more serious and a little bit more informative, but this was definitely just really fun. I had a lot of fun doing this. I definitely think we could return to doing like another tarot episode, and maybe we just like have a whole episode where we just pull tarot.
Maybe
that would be really fun.
It could get very repetitive though.
You know, maybe we do like one big tarot reading.
Oh my goodness, you mean like a big Celtic cross with like,
yeah, that thing where it's like 10 cards or whatever.
It is 10, I believe.
It is 10. So yeah,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Actually it might be 12.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe if you guys want and you enjoyed this episode, we can bring it back. So, yeah. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Did you want to talk about tassiography?
Tessa what?
Tassiography.
Tessa who?
Tassiography.
Futhark? I mean, do you want to drop your knowledge?
Sure. Tea leaves.
Right, go for it.
Oh. It's tea leaf reading.
Also called, that's what it's called.
Tassiography or tassiomancy.
Fancy.
Fancy. And also kind of spooky sounding. It's less popular than tarot.
Right. I mean, because not everybody drinks tea. And like, you have to drink like a whole ass cup of tea.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, people are into coffee these days. Like, it's hard to get someone to sit down and drink a whole ass cup of tea.
Okay, to be honest, I'm literally excitedly waiting for a thing of coffee to arrive in the mail, guys. So
I'm over here like, I just had my nice big cup of oolong. And you're just like, coffee.
But there's this new...
Who's calling you? And they're not nearly as important as me.
That's my phone telling me to feed the cat. Okay, so.
Do you want to wrap up?
Yeah, I'm just going to do this real quick. I can just do this real quick. He's asleep. He's fine.
Okay, cool.
Tassiography, yes. Okay. Yeah, it's less popular than tarot magic or crystal magic, and thus it's less understood.
Okay.
Because people don't do it as much, so there's less to understand there. It's based on the concept of directing energy. So when focusing your magical intention on the tea, the leaves become the energetic conduits.
Oh, okay.
Capable of mirroring our experiences, including those yet to occur.
Mm-hmm.
So you can read the tea leaves.
What does it mean to read tea leaves? Like, I doubt it spells out words.
No, they do not spell out words. They will paint a pretty picture and little symbols, and then you read those. And apparently over the past, like, 100 and... I don't even know how many years, but there's, like, 150, like, different ones, I think. Or there might be even more.
Wow.
And there's, like, books out on this, and I really want to try tassiography. They will reveal hidden blockages after offer advice, and mm-hmm. even forecast the future for you.
Oh, wow.
So they just make shapes.
And then you read those shapes.
Yeah, and I've just yet to practice that one. There are other types of divination, like dowsing pendulums. I really want to get into those.
Oh, I have seen that. Is that, like, where it's the magnetic, like, board or whatever? And, like, I've seen something with a pendulum where it's like a metal ball, and the base of it, the base of, like, the stand has, like, yes, no, definitely, things like that. And they all have magnets in them. And then, like, so you pick up the ball and it, like, goes crazy, like, all the magnets, and eventually it'll stop at one. And that's your answer.
That's insanity. I used, witches use crystal.
Oh, okay, I'm far off. It's one of the things that I saw in one of those tarot videos.
That's pretty cool. But a lot of witches use crystal.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to try and get into it. You basically just ask yes or no questions, and it's more about asking the right questions. A lot of witchcraft is about asking the right question.
Oh, and I'm assuming, like, because it's just a free hanging pendulum, that if it, you know, starts moving a certain way,
it'll be moving towards that direction. A lot of people worry that their hands are too trembly, or they're going to influence the direction it spins by that, or whatever. Swings. And so people have this thing where they've started putting their pendulum in a jar with a cork on top and asking the question then, and then just waiting.
Yeah, that's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Unless if you need to be touching it.
Yeah, I don't know if you need to be touching it. I don't do dowsing pendulum yet, so I wouldn't know.
I've seen dowsing rods, like, for ghost stuff. I'm sure it's also used for witchcraft. But I've seen, like, in ghost hunting videos where they'll have, like, two rods that free swing.
Mm.
And you ask, like, a question. Then you say, like, if they move away from each other, it's a no. And if they, like, cross, it's a yes. Or something like that.
I think I've used a dowsing rod for spiritual things before.
Like, those seem really cool. But it's another thing, like, am I unintentionally, like, subconsciously, like, moving them without thinking,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, am I somehow trying to get the answer that I want without realizing it?
I used to do it with a friend. We would talk to this child spirit when we were little. Yeah, crazy. Used to talk to spirits when I was little too.
Oh, we're gonna go into those stories, don't worry. But we're definitely hitting our mark. I think we have talked about divination enough for today. If you guys want to hear more, let us know, because this was a really fun episode to record.
And I can still talk about scrying and osteomancy.
Yeah, we could continue, or maybe we'll post something extra to the Patreon.
Osteomancy is just bone throwing, bone reads.
Bones. Sometimes you just want to be bones. It's spooky season. While we're recording this, it's spooky
season. I never want to be cremated. I want to be bones for a little bit.
I just want to be bones for a little bit. I forgot about that.
Should I draw a card to end us out on?
Yeah, let's go for it. What's the intention?
I'll let you decide.
Let's say, is this episode gonna do well? Are people gonna enjoy this episode?
Yeah. Will people enjoy this episode? Is it a flop?
If it's a flop, is there something I should be doing?
Oh, I hate this code. It scares me.
No, I am pulling those.
I hate swords. Swords scare me.
Of course, they're sharp.
Well, the swords are about air, speech, communication, truth, lies, gossip, and conflict.
Oh, God.
Sometimes referred to as the thief card. The Seven of Swords is about the use of subterfuge to obtain what is desired, or having trickery used against you and losing something that you value.
Oh. So what do you think that means? I didn't like that. I wanted it to be a high note that we left on.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that one.
I don't like it. It's wrong.
Are you saying that, like, we need to be tricky about how to get followers? Is that it? Like,
well,
that's a little weird.
Wait, read that to me one more time.
Sometimes referred to as the thief card, the Seven of Swords is about the use of subterfuge to obtain what is desired, or having trickery used against you and losing something you value.
And it was upright?
Upright, yep.
It's literally saying we need to somehow fabricate followers. Well, I can't say I didn't see that coming.
Fabricate your followers. That's how this will do well. Okay.
Guys, the universe has told us to buy followers.
So, donate to our Patreon to buy more followers.
Donate to our Patreon so we can get like 1,000 followers. Watch, like, this episode is going to do terrible. And you're going to be like, hey, remember what the deck said? And I'll be like, fine.
Hey, do you remember like the end of the episode, what the deck said?
That was painful. That one hurt. Oh, well. Thanks, universe. Your deck is mean.
Each deck has a personality. Mine's just fucking right.
Your deck's personality is like that blunt asshole no one likes.
You mean me?
But, I mean, no. No, of course not.
Don't mind me.
Well, guys, that was an interesting note to end on. Subscribe.
Otherwise, we'll have to buy you, I guess.
Otherwise, we'll have to buy your love. Have a good one. Are you gonna say anything?
I have no idea what to say.
Bye.
Bye.